And the Supreme Court, in its wisdom, says, ignore this reality. It's ill. It's unconstitutional to segregate people in that way. And so the prison officials have to scramble in all sorts of, you know, Cirque du Soleil fashions in order to get around what the courts have dictated, because they can't put these people together because they'll turn on each other in a moment.
That's exactly right. And there are many, many schools in California, Texas, where the blacks and the Hispanics are at each other's throats. This is, curiously enough, this is almost never national news, but my book is full of example after example of riots in which you get high school and junior high school students, hundreds of them, having at each other. You've got to have the SWAT teams have to show up to calm them down, helicopters hovering overhead. This is the fruit of diversity.
Jared Taylor, you know what Fred Reed says? He said, I've myself wondered, name five ways diversity has made the country stronger without mentioning ethnic restaurants or music. It's an interesting little test.
Well, you see, the way we talk about diversity, we bow down on both knees and worship it. You'd think that, you know, if you just got together, a couple Hispanics, a white guy or two, and an Asian, and three or four blacks, and maybe a nudist, and a couple of lesbians, put them together in a room, all of that diversity would result in the next iPad. I mean, just diversity itself is supposed to be this great, burgeoning, wonderful thing, but oddly enough, when people have a choice, they don't seek it out. As we talked earlier, people in their own lives do not seek diversity. They seek homogeneity.
One of the things about your background is that you were born in Japan to missionary
That's
parents.
Right.
And because of that, you grew up in a homogeneous culture, one where racism and race itself was never an issue.
Well, that's right. I was disturbing the homogeneity of Japan as a child. They were generally pretty tolerant of that.
Right, but they're not really fond of Gaijin.
No. They want Japan to stay Japanese, and I say God bless them. Absolutely God bless them. You know, Japan is a pretty wealthy country, and they're always being pestered by the UN and other international organizations to take in refugees, take in immigrants.
Yeah, they don't do it.
No thanks. We have a culture that suits us. And we know perfectly well that if we fill the place up with Filipinos and Iraqis and Palestinians, it just wouldn't be the same place. And the same is true for the United States.
But isn't it too late, really, to do anything about it?
Oh, I think it's never too late. It's never too late. And even if it is too late, I think it's my duty to speak up for my heritage, my ancestors, make sure that my descendants have some notion of what the country was originally founded as, what it could be. No, I think it's always important to speak the truth, and I think it's never too late.
What is it you said you want your grandchildren to look like your grandparents, not like who?
Oh, well, not like Fu Manchu or Anwar Sadat.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Or Whoopi Goldberg, for that matter. No, I think that it is, you see, this is another double standard. When black people say, no, I want my children to marry black people, and I want my descendants to continue to be black, there's nothing, that's not considered hateful. Or if Jews say, you know, of course I want my children to marry other Jews, we wish to continue to be Jews, that's normal, that's healthy. But if a white person says, yeah, my ancestors have been white for 1,000 years, and I'd like my descendants to continue to be white, oh my God, oh, call out the air raid, shall we? Call out the, boy, the Nazis have arrived.
That's good. Hey, Jared, I have a question for you. Can you stay with us until 11:25?
Oh, that'd be my pleasure.
Okay, because I want to take callers, and you know, we're out of time this hour. So hang on for me, okay?
Certainly.
Thank you so much.